Henry. And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. If you're calling west of the Rockies, dial this number. Better turn your radio up. East of the Rockies, call. I wasn't saying anything. And the wild card line is. And now, here, Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. Very good. Thank you. You do have to speak up, though, on the phone number, because we have gotten some people that were asking, well, what is it that Ross is saying? And I know that you're giving out the number. I know the wild card line. We also have the wild line and the wild man line. And all of those will be getting their own phone numbers very, very shortly. Well, what a first hour we had here on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. By the way, this is a celebrity voice impersonated. And I'm filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show, for those of you not aware of that. And we had an hour to absolutely break all records for investigative journalism and for uncovering, I dare say, threats, immediate threats, to our own security and safety in this dimension. Now, as you know, we spoke with Dr. Wizard Pink, who is planning, within a fortnight, as he said, a journey into Sinkhole 4 in Belugia, Louisiana. We also spoke very briefly with General Johnson Jameson, as he talked to us about the invisible children that have been born within the last 50 years, invisible and mute children, who can only make their presence known by taking pool cues and literally assaulting adults with them in sensitive areas, areas where they can drive it home and break it off. Now this hour, we will be discussing with Steve Pike, the investigative journalist for England Now and Forever, the news magazine. We'll be talking with him about his investigation of some 10 years into the existence of the Easter Bunny. But first, this from Piedmont Enterprises. Friends, Piedmont Enterprises has been there for you, but are you there for them? Please spend liberally and spend often at Piedmont Enterprises. Is it the ass purse? Is it the chili maker? Is it the new way of trading slaves? Whatever it is, whatever you can do, please buy products from Piedmont Enterprises. They're trying to help you survive the apocalypse. How are you going to help them survive the apocalypse? Please pay in gold. That's right, gold will do it. Because the people at Piedmont Enterprises have no intention whatsoever of lifting a finger and actually working for a living. They are making these products, hoping that they work, sure, but if they don't, they'll be long gone after the apocalypse and the road warrior takes over and takes your wife and daughter and all the things we've already explained to you. Piedmont Enterprises has been here for you. Now, are you there for them? Piedmont Enterprises, make sure you spend liberally at Piedmont. Piedmont Enterprises. On Coast to Coast, we certainly want you to be aware of the fact we do have a website. And we'd like you to visit that website just as soon as I can remember the address. But until you visit that website, please visit this website, which is www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And you will be able to see and hear a wide variety of entertainment there at philhenryshow.com. I'm Art Bell. And as you know, I have been off the air and on the air and off the air intermittently. Tonight, we decided to come back on the air, and I told George, just take a powder. And George said, well, I have a whole show prepared. And I said, like I care. And I said, you on the street, everybody in his studio, get out. And Ross Mitchell and I came parading in here for all the world, sat down, took all of George's notes, all of the things that he brought with him, like his Yoo-Hoos and his Starbucks coffees, and pitched them into the street and use his notes liberally as toilet paper as we continue through the evening. I'm only kidding. Let's bring on Stephen Pike now, as we're going to be talking about the Easter Bunny. What is the Easter Bunny? Why is the Easter Bunny? And what has Stephen Pike been able to find out about the Easter Bunny? The Easter Bunny, of course, is on everyone's mind this time of year, Stephen. How about you?
Well, there's no question the Easter Bunny's been on my mind. I've been thinking of the Easter Bunny non-stop for the last 10 years. So, of course it's on my mind. It's not any more on my mind during the Easter season, though.
No, it's, you're not thinking any more about the Easter Bunny during the Easter season than you are any other time of the year.
That is absolutely correct, because the Easter Bunny bedevils me. The Easter Bunny haunts my dreams. It haunts my very reality. And I haven't seen my family at stretches of up to 11 months sometimes.
So you are on the tail, and pardon the expression, but you are literally on the tail.
Of Peter Cottontail, yes, and I've heard all those jokes. But yes, I am, Art. I am literally, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. I use these as clues. But I have to say, I don't suffer fools well. I was sitting in a Starbucks having a coffee not too long ago, and I heard someone who'd been reading my series in England Now, which is a weekly news magazine that I work for, and I heard them saying, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity-hippity. And I swung with a backhand the coffee mug that I was holding, and I broke it across their face. That's the pressure that I've been under.
My goodness, Stephen.
Yes, that's the pressure that I've been under.
Well, I can certainly understand that you're not going to have a lot of patience for imbeciles.
No, I don't have any patience for imbeciles. Not when we're talking about a threat, and a threat that is in the very least imminent, and quite possibly is something that is even more imminent than we think. I know. I don't know what Easter is, and I should know this, when the children, the lives of children, are at stake.
What are you talking about? The lives of children from the Easter Bunny?
What I've understood the Easter Bunny to say, and again, the Easter Bunny doesn't talk with me. I've had to eavesdrop as I have followed this creature through 5 continents, some 12 countries, 1,300, I don't know how many countries. Are there 5 continents, by the way?
Yes, there's more than 5 continents.
All right, so I've North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia.
Is Australia a continent? I'll have to check with General Johnson Jameson.
You don't have to check with General Johnson Jameson. It is a continent. Of course it's a continent. It's a country and it's a continent. All right, let's say Antarctica. There, you happy?
I think I'd be more comfortable. So you follow the Easter Bunny through Antarctica, huh?
No, I haven't, but all right, let's say that I have. What of it?
Well, what is the Easter Bunny doing in Antarctica?
I don't know. Maybe he's chewing the egg salad down there. Get a load of you. Are you trying to...
I'm sorry, Stephen. It's been a very, very long show already, and we're not even half over with it. So tell me what it is you heard the Easter Bunny say. Were you eavesdropping?
I was able to tap his phones, and this is something that I'm very ambivalent about, because the Easter Bunny, whether or not he has the civil rights of a normal human being, I don't know. But I did tap his phone. I overheard him talking to another individual. I don't know who it was. Could have been a manager or a wife. Saying that if the children are not good this year, whole baby Katie bar the door. Now, I tried to figure out what he meant by Katie bar the door, and I saw some reading material on his coffee table.
Now, were you in the Easter Bunny's home?
As I was saying, I was not in his home, but I was doing a fair amount of eavesdropping, and I was also surreptitiously breaking into his residence when he was not there. And what I saw on his coffee table was the legend of Clambake. I can't pronounce it properly, but it's a German legend that has it that if the children are not good on Easter or Christmas, if the children are good on Christmas, they are taken by St. Nick or Clackety, I don't know what his name is, and he eats them. Well, the Easter Bunny is planning the same caper for our children. How about them apples? And I got that straight from the bunny's trap as he was talking on the phone.
That is an outrage.
Absolutely an outrage, Art, and we've got to do something about it.
Unfortunately, I don't have small children anymore, so I don't really care. But I will say good luck.
Well, thank you. But so you're not going to help.
No, I'm not. But I certainly do feel your pain in that the Easter Bunny would want to eat the children.
Yes, cook them and eat them. This has gone beyond multicolored eggs and chocolate and this sort of thing, which, of course, was all well and good. But now the rabbit proposes to take a child, small child, put the child into some kind of a serving tray, some sort of a bread dish, cook that child up until medium pink or whatever. I don't know how rabbits eat their meat, do you? I have no idea how they eat their meat. Take the child out and consume the child because the child hasn't been good. I think it's outrageous, and something has to be done.
We're talking here with Stephen Pike, who is a writer for England Now and Forever, the weekly magazine, on the Easter Bunny's plans to eat your children if they're not good. Now, you can well imagine the scandal that that would cause. I don't know, I'm not a reporter, I don't want to say, but I think it might be a real big deal. And we'll be back, we'll be black. We are white. And we're not black, but we'll be back with more from Stephen White, Stephen Black. Stephen,
My name is Stephen Pike.
Stephen Pike, that's right, from England Now magazine. Right after these words here on Coast to Coast.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Sorry.
We'll be right back. Celebrity voice impersonated.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And this is the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show, filling in for Phil Hendry this evening. I'm Art Bell, celebrity voice impersonated. And with us is Stephen Pike. And Mr. Pike is a writer for the British daily or weekly newspaper, rather, England Now and Forever. And he has been on the trail of the Easter Bunny. And quite a few of us would probably say, well, what's the big thing, the Easter Bunny, so on and so forth. We all know the Easter Bunny exists. On our program, Stephen, we do believe that the Easter Bunny exists, and we have no doubt of that. We do believe in extra-dimensional creatures, and we do believe in the power of said creatures.
Well, I think that that's your constitutional right, as you call it, in your country. You can believe in anything you'd like, and I'm not here to necessarily disagree with that. What I am saying to you, though, is while you believe in your Easter Bunny, which I'm sure gives you great enjoyment, I am here to tell you, I'm here to warn you Americans, and I'm warning my own readers and warning our own government in Great Britain that the Easter Bunny has turned a corner. The Easter Bunny has taken it to another level, if you will. And this creature now proposes to, if the children have been bad little boys and girls...
Now, let me interrupt you right there. I thought that was the purview of Santa Claus.
The purview of Santa, I don't really think there's any agreement among the so-called superhuman personages that we've invented for our children. I don't think there's any agreement. I think they'll do whatever they want to do, you know.
I understand, but Santa Claus was the one that kept them...
I understand what you're saying, Art, but it doesn't matter to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whoever else is at the Tooth Fairy, whether you're good, bad... They're going to do what they're going to do.
So what you're telling me, Stephen, is that the Easter Bunny decides, well, I'll give candy to children that have been good, and I will eat the ones that have been bad, and Santa Claus be damned.
Well, I think that that's mostly the attitude, because the phone conversation that I overheard was rife with obscenities and was referencing Santa Claus quite liberally.
And you don't know who he was talking to?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I tried to listen carefully. I knew at that time that the Easter Bunny sensed that I was somewhere in the area. They get the sense of this bunny, I don't know, it frightens me.
So the Easter Bunny is going to eat, is going to kill and eat the children?
Yes. Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying, Belle? The Easter Bunny is going to kill it. You don't care, do you?
No, as I said, I don't have children that are that small any longer, and so it doesn't affect me. Let's take some phone calls, though, because I'm sure there's going to be people that are very, very interested in this.
Well, I certainly can answer what I can answer, but I can't answer what I can't answer, and I won't answer what I do answer, but I will answer what I cannot answer. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't. You said you won't answer what you can answer.
No, I'm sorry. What I meant to say was I can answer what I can answer, and I can, and I can, can't, can, That's Moulin Rouge, right?
Yes, that's got,
I'm sorry, I can answer what I can answer, and I'll do my best.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. We have Reggie calling from Toronto, Canada. Reggie, go ahead.
Hey, Art. Speaking to your guest, the Easter Bunny is a mythical creature. We know that. But the belief in the Easter Bunny is what gives him his power. Would you agree with that, sir?
Yes, I would very much agree with that. I think that the Easter Bunny is gains quite a bit of his strength, if you will, his power, as you like to say, from the believability of his own believability, you see.
Right, right. Well, it's not a really big question. I don't need a big, long answer. I just wanted to know.
Well, I'm giving you a big, long answer, sir, because I've done quite a bit of investigation.
Well, that's fine, but I just, the primary thing I wanted to know is what I asked. Now, my next question would be this. If this thing is intent on eating our children, what are my rights?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that the child that the Easter Bunny wants to eat.
I know, it's got to be a bad child.
It has to be a bad child, yes.
Is there any brochure or anything that he's published to...
That I don't know. It's probably something that will be answered very quickly.
Well, would the Easter Bunny publish anything telling the parents what a bad child, what constitutes a bad child?
I think it would be quite sporting of him if he would.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. As Art said, is he going to do it, or is he just going to take our kids by surprise and say, well, you weren't good, and I'm going to eat you? And what do you mean, eat the kid? Where does he take them? Does he have a...
I think he has some kind of industrial kitchen.
An industrial kitchen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, how in the hell... My question, does anybody know how the hell he got the equipment?
Well, he's not a normal... in other words, he lives in the supernatural world, so he can get anything he wants, I imagine.
Well, we don't know, really, what the power of supernatural creatures is, but I think these are all very valid questions, Reggie.
Well, yeah, they're valid, but I want them answered. What are you going to do, hang up on me?
Well, we have to move on to another call.
Well, you haven't answered the question.
What was your question, sir?
My question is, how do we protect our kids? First of all, does this guy have a license to cook a kid? Well, there's no license you can get to cook a kid, is there?
Get a hold of yourself.
I got a hold of myself. Like you wouldn't believe. Is there a license to cook kid?
There's no license that I know of in the United States or Great Britain to cook kid.
All right, Reggie, we have to move on.
Oh, bullcrap. You guys told...
I'm very, very sorry we had to move on from that caller here. Our number here on the Art Bell Show is 888-888-888-888, Supernatural, Easter Bunny, Creepy Stuff. With me is, of course, the great writer Stephen Pike from England Now. Let's go to another phone call. And we have John calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. John, go ahead. You're on with Art Bell. How are you?
Hey, Art, I'm doing great. And to your guest, good evening, sir.
Yes, sir, good evening.
We had a little occurrence here in Wisconsin not too long ago called the Hanging Man. And I don't know if you heard about it. I called Art last week about it, and it was a man that was seen at night, and he floated just above the treetops, and he had a basket around his neck. Now, this was an apparition, yes, it was, but nonetheless, it scared everyone half out of their wits, and it was a man floating just above the treetops with a basket around his neck like a cigarette, like the cigarette girls used to have.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying cigarettes, cigars, you know, Coca-Cola, popcorn. And I was out there a couple of weeks ago when I first saw him, and I bought a bag of nuts off of him. And I said, what are you doing? And he just went, ooh, like that. Now, Art, you remember talking to me about that?
I seem to remember your call, John. Ordinarily, I don't like to encourage you people that call back over and over and over again because it seems like it's old home week, and I don't want it to appear that I know you or that I like you or hang out with you.
I understand that, but I do call quite frequently and bother you, right?
Yes, all the time. You bother our screener, always trying to get on the air. Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So do you remember when I said that this guy, the Hanging Man, as they call him, if I could ask a question...
Yes, sir.
This is a phenomenon that you see. Is a free-floating apparition?
I don't know if it's an apparition. I know he flies, and then he lands if you want something.
And you say you bought something from him.
I bought a bag of chips or something. I don't know. It was Chips Ahoy.
Were you able to eat the Chips Ahoy?
Well, yeah, but I don't remember. I was more intent on... I just wanted to get him talking. And I said to this guy, I said, do you know about the Easter Bunny or anything else? And he goes, ooh, he started doing the whole ghost thing.
you know?
Yes.
Well, my question then would be, if you see him again, can you take a picture of him? I'll try. I don't know if it's going to do any good. I mean, it will do good, and keep in mind that these, whether an apparition or not, they can have... I'm listening to that god-awful music.
Just hold on for just a moment, Stephen.
God, you changed that music.
We'll be right back here, Coast to Coast with Art Bell, and filling in on the Phil Hendry Show right after these messages. Celebrity voice impersonated.
You change that dancing queer, whatever. What's
Phil
it called?
Hendry.
Hey, I'm still here in Wisconsin.
Now, back to Coast with Art Bell. I'm Russ Mitchell, and my voice is giving out.
And this is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Ross, come on back here for just a moment. Ross Mitchell has been with me for so long. And Ross, you're a wonderful guy. And you just said your voice is giving out? I'm just a little bit. Let's just try it again. Play the Dancing Queen. And if we've got Spider Jack in there, Spider, would you just go ahead and play the Dancing Queen? Yeah. Go ahead.
And now, Coast to Coast, see? I can't do it.
All right, so what happened there is you lost your voice.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it comes and goes, and I don't know what to do.
Well, just go ahead and try it.
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. To call Art, it sounds stupid.
All right. Well, we'll certainly just rest your voice. Get yourself a glass of tea or something. I don't know what you announcer types imbibe, but we want you to feel better, Russ, because you are... It's Ross or Russ?
Ross.
Oh, see, your voice is good now.
No, it's not.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So it's coming. It's going back and forth.
Yeah.
And what is your name, Ross or Russ?
Ross.
It's Ross.
Yeah, Ross.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, that's very interesting. Ross is going up and down and back and forth. And with me is Stephen Pike. Have you ever heard anything like that, Stephen?
Well, when you said going up and down and back, if I know up and down, I don't know back and forth, if you'll pardon me for saying, but that was quite intriguing, yes.
And we're taking phone calls from you on the Easter Bunny and the plans the Easter Bunny has in this investigative piece of journalism... That has been done by this gentleman, Stephen Pike, that the Easter Bunny is looking to eat your children. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Mark, hello and welcome to Coast.
Thank you very much. My question for the gentleman is, what database are you drawing your conclusions from, or do you have any kind of database you're working from?
The database at present is...
Because you sound like you're full of crap to me. You're a liar.
Hello? Is the gentleman there? Hello? Well, that's interesting.
All right. The gentleman hung up. I think it's a good question. I don't know why he decided to assault you in that way.
I've come to expect that in America. Americans are not very good at accepting reality. I think they like to think that they have no... You know, that they have no problems. I'm here to tell you your children will be eaten by the Easter Bunny. And if that doesn't get them up off of their fat cans, I don't know what will. I just don't know.
All right, now, Stephen, I'm led to believe, I'm given to understand, and it is my belief, and it is my conclusion based upon the information that I have, and again, given to understand that General Johnson Jameson... has called into the program.
God almighty, Bell couldn't have gotten to it faster than that.
Well, I wanted to be sure. General Jameson, who is at present investigating the invisible children phenomenon, which has been rife throughout much of North America, at least it's been rife in his own imagination.
Well, I was going to say, yes. There's no invisible child that's visited me, I can assure you.
General Jameson, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here. I was calling to help this gentleman, but if he's going to mock my very... serious efforts. Seriously, I'm not trying to mock you, but I've not been... I don't believe that I've been, visited by invisible children, I can tell you that.
So you haven't felt, you haven't been, and I'm going to tell you, have you been, has anybody squeezed or felt anything?
Yes, of course. Of course.
And you've seen them?
No, I've not seen all of them, but I assume it's my wife. I sleep with my wife, sir. You understand that?
Yes, I know you sleep with your wife, and that's... And so in the middle of the night, she reaches over and gives it a squeeze.
A lot of wives will.
Many women will, just as men, feel a bit gamey in the middle of the night.
They'll feel a bit randy and certainly wish to commence, if you will, a session of a little bit of the old bump-bump. Eh, what? Eh? And I'm sure, have you not had that feeling? Have you not had a woman...
No, sir, my wife died several hundreds, seems like thousands of years ago, and since my wife has died, I've denied myself to women.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir, but it sounds to me as if some of your problems might be, forgive me for saying this, some of your problems might be cured if you'd allow yourself to come to women
from time to time.
Well, you just keep your British nose out of my life. You understand me?
Sir, I was not...
Just keep your British nose out of my life.
All right, now, General Jameson, there's no need to be like that. The good gentleman here, Mr. Pike, is trying to help find the invisible children.
Now, I know what he wants to do. Now I got it. I couldn't figure it out. Now I know. You want the Pulitzer Prize for finding the invisible children and leave me standing in the road with an empty bag, don't you?
No, sir. I have no idea about invisible children. I will tell you right now, I think the whole thing is cockamamie. I'm looking for the Easter Bunny. And now I'm here to warn people...
Yeah, yeah. No, I heard. They're warning people the Easter Bunny is going to eat their children.
Man, I've heard it all.
Now, gentlemen, and I would ask General Jameson this question. Isn't there a way the two of you can get together? You have invisible children that are bedeviling you by basically molesting you. And
that's exactly, you know, and a lot of people have said, oh, well, see, that's poetic, you know, that's the poetic justice of it. I don't see any poetic justice at all. I see a fantasy of some kind.
Hey. What are you saying?
I'm saying that it sounds like some sort of perverted, twisted fantasy that adult men have. Who have these invisible children attacked?
They attacked a lady.
I had a whole mob of them out in front of my house. Invisible children?
No, my neighbors.
You had a whole mob of invisible children?
No, my neighbors were in front of my house, and one lady had a hand put up her dress.
Oh, had a hand put up a dress, did she? And did she identify the hand?
No, she didn't, because when she turned around, there was no one there.
Then maybe it was a man who had furtively walked away before she had seen him.
No. I reject that.
Well, General Jameson, in the interest of science and objectivity, why would you reject that?
Because she said she... Because I've had a pool cue...
Okay, I've had a pool cue shoved up my...
You had a pool cue shoved up there?
Yes.
And I can assure you that it was floating in space.
All right, General Jameson, the pool cue that was jammed where you said it was had no one holding it.
No, it was free floating in space, and then it went zip right up. Igor, didn't you see that? Yeah, man. Saw that pool cue go up there like it spit like a javelin.
And Igor, was it just floating?
Yeah, it was a floating pool cue. Then it went right up to General, went right up, you know, right up there.
You weren't holding it, were you?
No, man, no one did that.
You see, that's what I'm talking about, Pike. You want to write a real article, Pike, instead of fooling around with the Easter Bunny, you come with me on this invisible children caper, as I can tell you.
Well, this is my point, gentlemen. You have invisible children. You've got an Easter Bunny that's going to eat children that have been bad. It sounds to me as if the invisible children will be eating my Easter Bunny.
Now, hold on for a minute, Bell. First of all, you have to assume that the Easter Bunny can identify an invisible child. I don't know. And secondly, I don't know what...
Right, we'll get another phone call here. Margaret Gray is calling from Los Angeles. She is a freelance journalist, and she's calling the Art Bell Coast to Coast Show. And Margaret, how are you?
Art, I am doing very well. Thank you so much for filling in for Phil. This is a fascinating topic, and I congratulate both gentlemen for the scholarship, the erudition, and the research that you have put into each of these topics. To you, General Jameson, the invisible children... And to you, Mr. Pike, the Easter Bunny that wants to eat bad children, what exactly does the Easter Bunny call a bad child?
Well, Ms. Gray, I would say the Easter Bunny calls a bad child a child that is recalcitrant, that is rude to his parents,
Does the Easter Bunny consider a child... Come here, some medication. Come on, Mom, don't do it. Get over here. Does the Easter Bunny consider a child bad who referred to his mother as, you're the cow, you eat the broccoli? Do you know of any Easter Bunny that would consider that child to be bad? Yes, you did. Hold on. Do you know of any Easter Bunny that would do that?
Well, I would say that if a child referred to his mother as a cow and said, you're the cow, what was the quote again?
The quote was, Jason, would you like to say what the thing is that you said?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. He said, you're the cow in this family, you eat the broccoli. Now, does the Easter Bunny consider that child to be bad?
I would have to say yes, but I don't know. You understand we're dealing with a phenomenon that I have no control over. It's a dangerous phenomenon. And I think if you're wanting to punish your son, you would have to be aware of the fact this would be a death penalty.
Oh, is it a death penalty? The Easter Bunny will eat people.
14, Mom. I hear the boy say he's 14.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Easter Bunny... in fact, I did... Yes, the Easter Bunny has broken through all age barriers and now will eat any kid under the age of 18 that he thinks is a crawling punk. And,
Well, it sounds to me like you're prejudiced.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Are you prejudiced, Steve?
Yes, maybe I am. Maybe I've got children that don't speak to me anymore. Maybe I've got a son that won't talk to me anymore. Maybe I've got a son that's been in and out of jail. A daughter that's been in and out of jail. Maybe I hope they get eaten by the Easter Bunny. Okay? Maybe that's what I hope.
Well, I'm not prepared for this kind of drama.
Well, maybe you ought to get prepared, Belle. You bring these people on, they don't know what they're going to say. You got this woman talking about her son, calling her a cow. And now you got the kid who's going to be threatened by being eaten by the Easter Bunny. And got this other guy who's... I am disgusted. And I'm... God.
What happened?
One of the invisible kids grabbed my ass.
Well, I've heard it all before. And I will agree with one thing, Mr. Pike. That this guy, General Jameson's getting his cookies.
How dare you?
It sounds like you're getting your cookies on this invisible kid kick.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird and everything.
You want to tell that brat to shut up? By the way, I have to ask you something.
Hold on for a minute. Did you call my son a brat?
May I say something?
No, hold on. Did you... In 1 minute, Steve. Did you call my son a brat?
Ma'am, I have to...
Did you call my son a brat?
Yes, I did.
That is beyond the pale. I'm the mother. I'll discipline my son.
I have to ask you something, ma'am. That son of yours that said that you were the cow, you eat the broccoli?
Yes.
Can you see him?
Yes, he's standing right here.
Okay. I thought if he was invisible.
No, he's not invisible, you senile.
All right, I'm not talking to that. I'm not talking to Daisy there.
That's pretty funny. Ow!
There, I just slapped my son because you're a smartass. How does that feel?
All right. I can't have this, Ms. Gray. I can't have you disciplining that child.
You keep out of it, Belle. I just slapped my son because of what you did. How does it feel?
Madam, I was simply trying to...
Ow! There, I did it again. Until you apologize, I will keep on hitting him.
I will apologize.
No, not you, Pike. I don't care about you.
Margaret.
And you keep out of it, Belle. I'm talking to Johnson.
All right, I apologize.
Good.
Well, that was absolutely outrageous, gentlemen, and I don't know what to say other than I hope the Easter Bunny eats both of you. I'm Art Bell, and I thank both of you for being with me. Now...
I'm still here. Yeah, me too.
Well, I'd like both of you to leave now. Hang up on them, please. This is the Art Bell Show, Coast to Coast, as we investigate the Easter Bunny...
I'm not leaving.
As we investigate the Easter Bunny and invisible children with General Johnson Jameson...
That's me.
And Stephen Pike...
That's me.
And we'll be right back here on Coast to Coast with me...
Art Bell.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
With Art Bell sitting in for Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the Coast to Coast Show with me, Art Bell. And we have investigated some fascinating topics this evening, although I must say that they have not gone quite the way that I wanted them to go. They didn't go swimmingly. As we did look into the invisible children, of course, situation vis-a-vis the Easter Bunny. We're going to be revisiting the topic of sinkholes with Wizard Pink. Dr. Wizard Pink, that'll be next hour, as we commence with the investigation of these sinkholes. My understanding is, and I could be very wrong, my understanding is that Dr. Pink is going to travel down into one of these sinkholes for us this very evening. Stick around for that. But first, this from Peanut Enterprises. Peanut Enterprises now offers you the opportunity to soil yourself and look good doing it. You know, when the end of the world comes, one of the first things you're going to do is lose control of your bowels. But you don't have to be embarrassed by that, no. You can sit there and crap yourself and look good, look even stylish, and it'll be all Peenemann Enterprises' way of introducing you to their new line of fashion for this forthcoming year. We won't tell you how and we won't tell you where, but we will just tell you this. Peenemann Enterprises guarantees you'll smell and look good even as you crap yourself with the coming of the rapture or the apocalypse, or your money back. That's right, you'll get your money back within 3 weeks, waddling around with all of that in your pants. New from Peanut Enterprises. Well, here on the Coast to Coast show, while we await the re-arrival of Dr. Wizard Pink, we thought we'd go to some more phone calls and take your views on our question of the night, and that is, when will the leavening occur? That is, the flattening and the leavening of civilizations. You know, I've given my guess, within the next 14 to 15 months, the leavening, the flattening, and the easing of civilization as we know it will take place. I've just been having this sense, I've had it for quite a long time, that we are on the doorstep of Epic 3. Now, I can't tell you why I feel this way, only that I've had several dreams where I've seen the gonk, and I've seen the lotion people. The gonk and the lotion people, as you know, are harbingers of Epic 3, and they come in striding motion, and they enter the earth through the orifice that is in the side of the Carpathian Mountains, and they exit the earth the same way. And I've had several dreams where I see the gonk standing, hands on its hips, and glaring out over a pink horizon, that is, an almost pinkish or rust-colored horizon. What does that bespeak? Naturally, Mars. Where is the gonk from? You and I both know, this is common knowledge and has been for hundreds of years, from the Martian inner world. Not the outer world, but the inner world. Because the gonk is light and heat-sensitive. Now, if we can isolate the gonk and the diminutive people that we know as Marquesas, which are named after the islands off of the coast of South America, then we can get some grasp as to when the leavening takes place and the easement. And I will be dealing with all of this in my next book, Art Bell Tells It to You Straight. That's Art Bell Tells It to You Straight, my next book, which will have in it all the information you need to survive the complete destruction of the planet Earth, even to the point where it explodes and becomes nothing more than pebble-sized chunks. How can you survive that? I'll tell you how. With my book, Art Bell explains the whole GD deal to you. We're naming it something different, but I know that that's the name that I like. That's the name that I like. Let's take a phone call, shall we? Hello, you're on the Art Bell Show, and of course we will have next hour Dr. Wizard Pink. This is Teresa. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Do you think that the memory that you have, that I have, a lot of people have it too, because I've talked to a lot of people, but the memory that I have of writing out a cataclysm atop a mountain, and I was on a mountain, do you think that that has something to do with the leavening, the flattening, the yeast?
Teresa, I think it could. If you say you're riding it out on top of a mountain, that sounds to me as if you are indeed on top of a large chunk of rock or boulder, perhaps some kind of an asteroid, meteorite, or some kind of debris from the explosion of the Earth. Does it feel as if you've been riding out a cataclysm of that kind?
I think that I would have to answer your question with this statement. I would say that there is, for me, a sense of release and lightness, even though I am cross-legged. And understand, I'm in a grotto. As these chunks of Earth are flying through space, I'm in a grotto.
And this is your dream?
Yes. This is my dream. This is my nightmare. I saw a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. That's my dream. That's my nightmare. To crawl along the edge of a straight razor and survive.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. I'm going to look into that, though, Teresa. I do appreciate you calling. I'm going to look into that and find out if, in fact, we are having these Jungian-style racial memory or racial consciousness events happening the globe over. I want to look into this. How many other people are having these dreams? Are we all beginning to dream about the leavening and the fattening? Are we all now dreaming about the stretching, fattening, and elongation of mankind?
Phil Hendry.